the Army launches major recruiting reforms and the latest push to pass legislation to help Afghan allies. All that and more today, October 4th, 2023. Good morning, early birds. I'm Simone Perez, and this is the Early Bird Brief, produced by Defense News and Military Times. So first up, from Capitol Hill, in a historic vote, the House of Representatives voted to remove Speaker Kevin McCarthy. He is the first speaker to be voted out of his post.
The resolution is adopted. Without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid on the table. The office of Speaker of the House of the United States House of Representatives is hereby declared vacant.
There is no obvious Republican successor for McCarthy. Some of you might remember the stalemate in January when about 20 Republicans withheld their votes for McCarthy at the start of the new Congress. It took 15 rounds of voting for McCarthy to gain the gavel. At that time, McCarthy agreed to terms with the holdouts that eventually led us to this moment. One of the agreements was that any one member could call for a vote to vacate the position of Speaker. Well, Florida Republican Matt Gaetz did just that, citing McCarthy's last-minute deal with Democrats to avoid a government shutdown. Eight Republicans, including Gaetz, joined Democrats to remove McCarthy. So you might be thinking, okay, Simone, yes, very interesting, but we come to you for defense and national security news of the day, and you are totally right. So here's why it matters. Democrats said ahead of the vote that McCarthy shouldn't count on them, saving him, in part because of lingering resentment over the defense policy bill. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries said the House Armed Services Committee had offered a bipartisan defense bill, but extreme Republicans, quote, hijacked the legislation. The House narrowly passed the National Defense Authorization Act in July in a 219-210 vote, largely along party lines. That's after Republicans added several socially conservative provisions pushed by members of the Conservative Freedom Caucus. Congress usually passes the NDAA with robust bipartisan support. The House's $874 billion NDAA includes amendments that overturn the Pentagon's abortion leave policy, restrict medical care for transgender troops, eliminate military diversity initiatives, and bar the Pentagon from implementing President Joe Biden's climate change initiatives. The Senate passed its own bipartisan NDAA in July without the socially conservative policy and climate provisions. That tees up complicated negotiations on a final bill between the two chambers in the weeks ahead. Now the House will go through rounds of voting like it did in January to select a new speaker. Another important story, the Army has launched far-reaching reforms that will transform how it attracts and recruits new soldiers. The move comes after the service failed to meet its recruiting targets for two consecutive fiscal years. Its end strength fell from an original level of 485,000 in late 2021 to around 452,000 active duty soldiers today. That's the Army's smallest full-time force since 1940, before the U.S. entered World War II. Army Secretary Christine Wormuth said the changes came after a recruiting study comparing 25 years of internal Army data and organizational structure against labor market trends and the private sector. These changes are also immediate, but it could take years to complete some. The reforms increase recruiters' mandates to woo prospective soldiers with college education due to the shrinking proportion of workforce members who have only a high school education. The reforms also reassign recruiting command to report directly to Wormuth. The commander of recruiting command will raise its general rank to a 3-star level and extend the command tour length to 4 years. Army leaders express confidence that shifting the Army's recruiting model to more closely resemble that of the private sector will help it reach markets that it has struggled to tap. The Army has not met its contract goals since 2014. That has slowly drained its pool of what is known as delayed entry recruits and forced it to rely on late-year recruiting surges. The Army's all-out effort to make its recruiting goals both last year and this year yielded some important successes. One such example is the Future Soldier Prep Course for applicants who need to improve their fitness or test scores before they can go to basic training. In other news, a major veterans organization is making another push to get Congress to pass a bill to help Afghan allies. The proposal would clarify the status of and help thousands of Afghans who helped U.S. troops in the country. For more on this, Military Times Capitol Hill Bureau Chief Leo Shane III joins the episode today. So Leo, if you could give listeners a refresher, what is the Afghan Adjustment Act and why do its proponents say it's so important?
Yeah, look, this is legislation that's been floating around for more than 2 years now that would ease the immigration process for Afghan allies who worked with U.S. forces in Afghanistan during the combat operations there. There's upwards of 150,000 folks who are still believed to be trapped in Afghanistan. These are folks who directly helped U.S. forces or family members of those. There's tens of thousands more that have applied for asylum, that are trying to become permanent residents of the United States, that at various points were promised they would have a escape route out of Afghanistan should the Taliban take back over. But there's been all sorts of confusion with the special immigrant visa program and with State Department rules regarding these. So lawmakers for quite some time have been trying to find a way to simplify this, to speed up the process and to make sure that folks who work alongside U.S. troops are rewarded and recognized for the sacrifices that they made. There's been a lot of concerns from conservative lawmakers that there's just not enough watch in here. There's not enough requirements to make sure that folks who shouldn't get in aren't getting in. It really has stalled everything. Every few months, this comes back up. There's some hope that maybe this will be the time this moves forward and these tens of thousands of Afghan refugees will have some clarity. But so far, nothing's really moved forward.
And what was this latest push by a veterans group to see the bill passed? How likely is it that this pushes the bill over the finish line and gets Congress to act?
Yeah, so what we saw today was the Veterans of Foreign Wars had a press conference at their headquarters with a number of other veterans advocates and with about a dozen members of Afghan female tactical platoons who are living here now, have come to America, who actually want to serve in the U.S. military, but can't because their immigration status is up in the air. They're not sure if they'll be allowed to stay in the United States. They're not sure if they'll be allowed to join and serve this country. But you're talking about folks who have a pretty unique skill set who could be invaluable in future conflicts, especially in the Middle East, in the Afghanistan area, should that happen again. Just a wealth of knowledge of how some foreign cultures work here. But they're caught in limbo. And we've seen this before. We've seen veterans groups partner with these folks to show their stories, to show the sacrifices they made, to show the importance to the veterans community in the hopes that it will sway lawmakers and sway the public for some more public attention on this. You know, last week has been pretty chaotic up on Capitol Hill. We had a possible government shutdown. We're having speaker fights. We're having quite a few other budget issues and conversations. Getting any attention on this issue is difficult, but what we're hearing from veterans is this is important. This is something the country can't forget about. So they're going to keep trying to highlight this issue and highlight the stories of these Afghans so that the public will finally put pressure on lawmakers to help them.
Thanks, Leo. For more conversations like this one, please like and rate us wherever you get your podcasts. Also on the radar for today, local media reported that two soldiers were killed this week in Alaska when their truck rolled over near the Yukon training area. The two troops were assigned to the 11th Airborne Division at Fort Wainwright, Alaska. A dozen others were also injured. Alaska news source said that 17 soldiers were riding in a light-medium tactical vehicle on a dirt road near the training area when the driver lost control of the truck. The report said that a pair of troops also suffered injuries so severe that they were flown nearly 300 miles to Anchorage. The less injured soldiers were transported to Fairbanks Memorial Hospital. The division spokesperson told Alaska news source that the entire 11th Airborne Division family is grieving the loss of the two soldiers. The Army Combat Readiness Center will lead a safety investigation. That and a local investigation will seek to formally determine the cause of the crash. And now, here are some other stories that we're hearing chirps about. A senior U.S. Department of Defense official was arrested and charged with participating in a dogfighting ring. Task and Purpose reported that Army veteran Dalton Medlin died on September 27th from wounds sustained in Ukraine. More than 20 U.S. military veterans have died in the war against Russia's invasion. CNN reported that only 43 of more than 8,000 service members discharged from the U.S. military for refusing the COVID-19 vaccine have rejoined. And in case you missed it, the UN Security Council voted this week to send a multinational armed force led by Kenya to Haiti to help combat violent gangs. It marks the first time in almost 20 years that a force would be deployed to the Caribbean nation. And on this day in history, in 1993, the battle between U.S. forces and Somali militia fighters in Mogadishu, Somalia, also known as the Black Hawk Down incident, concluded. That That's it for us this morning. To get more top stories and breaking news, go to defensenews.com/EBB to subscribe to the Early Bird Brief newsletter. Please give us a like, rating, and a comment wherever you get your podcasts, and be sure to follow us on social media at @defense_news and at @MilitaryTimes. The Early Bird Brief is hosted and produced by me, Zimone Z. Perez. Today's episode features stories by Davis Winky, Bryant Harris, and Leo Shane III. Our editor-in-chief is Mike Bruce. Have a great day.